It is a needed help in time of trouble. But we want to read verse 12 along with 13. I think 12 may be one of those verses because 13 is so fantastic. 12 kind of gets passed over from time to time, and Lord's help, we want to use that this morning. The fourth chapter, the book of Philippians. Won't you stand with us this morning? Stretch your legs as we read the word of the Lord. It says, and starting in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want you to bow your heads with us as we look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Kevin Annell, you care to lead us this morning. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin. Says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beautiful verse. Hope that you memorize it. Hope you keep that in your heart. And it teaches us that no matter what today holds, we have a God, we serve a master who's there to help us to get through it. There's nothing too big for me, Brother Harry, that God and I can't overcome it. There's nothing too great that God and I can't achieve those goals that He has set forth for us. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And we can all sit here and say that. And what a beautiful thought that is. And it helps to get us through. Or maybe it helps us to endure the trials of life. It helps us to press on. When the doctor comes in and says, I've diagnosed there's cancer in the body. It's a beautiful verse to help us press on. No matter what the treatments might be. No matter what tomorrow might hold, I've got a God that's going to help me through it. There's a heart condition. Maybe it's a heart attack. I can press on. There's a family struggle, but I can yet press on. There's a financial worry, but I can press on. I have made terrible decisions in my life. I have made mistakes. I have failed my God. But because of this verse, I can be learned that if I'll just hold on to Him, He will help me and strengthen me, and we can press on. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I hope you hold on to that. I hope that helps you. It's helped me in my life. It'll help you if you hold on to it. Let me tell you, that verse means what it says. It's not some writing that's a slogan for the wall. It's not some writing. Listen, this is a word from God that is true in its intent. It will help us. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Now, if you look at that verse a little deeper, it teaches us that it's not our strength. But it's through Christ who strengtheneth us. Now there's what I see in society. There's the problem. We push to be stronger. We push to do more. We depend upon self. We are a very independent society. We are a very independent people. We can accomplish a lot of things. We can go and send a man to the moon. We can land and walk around the moon and take pictures and send it back. We can do amazing things, and we become very independent in what we're able to do. But this verse says, listen, there are things in this world that is far greater than what you're able to overcome. There's things you have no control of, my friend. You can't simply do anything about it. You ever had any troubles? You ever had any problems? You ever had any so big that you knew it doesn't matter what you did, you could not fix that problem? Now you're starting to understand what this is talking about. It says, don't rely on your strength, for your strength is not enough. Don't think you can do enough to overcome these hurts, because you can't. You're not big enough this morning. But we live in a time where we like to believe we can do anything that we set our mind to. We teach our young people just as much. I believe in goals, and I think they're wonderful. I think our young people should achieve to do great things. But let us be reminded by the writings here in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Not through us, not through self, not through what I can do, but there are going to be things in my life. Things in your life. Every one of us are going to face battles in our life that are bigger than we can handle. If you've not seen those yet, my friend, praise the good Lord this morning. Lift a hand and just praise the good Lord and say, thank you, Lord, I've not seen those battles, but be ready and prepared, for they're headed your way. Because we can be a certain that that this world brings troubles and trials. But verse 12, as we've been reading, I think gets overlooked, because we look at these big things in life, and there are big things that that challenge us. But some of the biggest battles that I have seen people fail with is not the cancers and the huge, easily to see problems. It's the things that are intangible. You can't put a hand on it. You ever seen somebody have a position of authority and it go to their head? We like to say it went to their head. I'm not exactly sure I get that what that means exactly, but I know what kind of the thought is. All of a sudden, maybe they've gotten to be a boss in a workplace, and it went to their head. The same person we used to sit down and laugh with, now they don't have time to talk to us anymore. Or maybe somebody come into a little money, maybe it's an inheritance or whatever it might have been, sold some land or what, and they got some wealth obtained, and now they change their friend. And who you once used to know and hang out with and have a good time with, now they don't hardly even have time to say hello when you pass on the street. Their money went to their head. Some of the hardest things we battle in life is not the hard things, the bad things, but it's the things that we look at in society as a blessing or maybe a reward. See, here's what verse 12 said. Verse 12 said, I know both how to be abased. To be abased means to be brought down. And I know how to abound or to be lifted up. Here it's taught to us. It said, listen, not only do we have to know how to deal with the hard times, but we need to understand how to deal with the blessings that come our way. I watch and see people that have cancer and sicknesses, and the church rallies behind them. And we've seen that right here at Fairview and in the community, where somebody has something that happens that's a terrible tragedy or sickness, and the community rallies behind them and supports them and lifts them up and helps them, just as the Word of God teaches for us to do. And that's well and good. But how many times have you seen somebody get lifted up? And the church rally behind that. Oh, that person got a little money. They ought to do more for the church. They ought to help more people out. We pull them down. They got a little something extra in life, and we instantly start wondering, how's that going to help me? We like to bring them down. But not only that, sometimes they somewhat ask for it themselves. Remember, they let it go to their head. Because they no longer listen to me and Brother Leroy. It's his buddies. We're friends. We have coffee, everyone. All of a sudden, I don't have no time for Brother Leroy's. I got a higher class of friends I'm hanging out with. Paul said, we've got to know how to be lifted up. We don't even understand this. Paul said, without the Spirit of God, I don't even know. He said, I can do all things through Christ. He said, I don't know how to be lifted up with the blessing from heaven until Jesus Christ lives inside of my heart. I don't even know how to receive a blessing from God until God lives inside of my life. See, that's the problem. People win the lottery. Do you know a vast majority of those that win the lottery lose everything that they won? I couldn't handle it either. I'm not smart enough. Taxes, and everybody needs a little handout, help over here, and this dog's dying and that cat needs a new medicine. Listen, there's a lot of people asking for somebody to offer some help. I wouldn't know how to handle it no better than they do. But over 50% statistically lose everything they have and go bankrupt. Well, bankrupt millionaires got more than I got. Probably true. See, but they didn't know how to handle what they received. They didn't, and that's the problem in life. We don't know how to handle the blessing from heaven until Christ lives within us. He said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But those blessings can only be understood when the love of God is in our heart. Now remember, I said troubles are coming your way. Let me tell you something else. Blessings are coming your way. I expect you've already seen them. For long before I was in the house of God, worshiping God, He was already blessing me in my life. God's sending blessings your way, my friend. And let me tell you, there's something to behold. This church right here has blessed my family more than I could ever express to you. And I don't know how to handle it. But the love of God leads me. See, you don't know how to handle the blessing. That's what brings you into the house of God. Sometimes it's not a terrible tragedy, but it's a great blessing that you don't know what to do with, and you're meandering around lost in the world. So you come to the house of God. Praise be to Jesus Christ that you've come to the right place. For I can do all things. I know how to be brought down. I know what it's like to be kicked. I know what it's like to hear cancer. I've heard the word heart problem. I've seen parents lying in the hospital bed. I watched dad's bed kick up one day and the foot of it kicked up. The monitor went flatline and they come running in. Let me tell you, that's a scary moment in life when you get to such a place. I've seen the downside of life. I've seen what health conditions can do to a person. I've also seen the blessings, and I didn't know how to handle any of it until Christ Jesus was in my life. Let me share with you an example, because my life's not just enough. You might remember a man by the name of Noah in the Bible. Everybody knows Noah, right? He's in Bible school. Oh, Noah's a good study. The world's full of sin. God looked down, found favor, had favor with Noah, told him to build an ark, and floods come. He floated up. Could you imagine the emotional peaks and valleys this family might have went through? I mean, I'm talking about he was in the will of God there. He was found perfect in his generation. God talked with him. He ministered for over 100 years, like about 120 years, and only 8 entered into the ark there that he built. But this man walked with God, had a spiritual guidance from God, talked with God, and obeyed God's commandment. I mean, he had to be way up here on a spiritual high in his life. All the while, the world's not listening to him. Sounds a lot like 2018, amen? All the while, the world's not listening to him, but he presses on, ups and downs, peaks and valleys, builds him an ark, gets in it, God shuts the door of it, and the rainwater starts falling. I can only imagine the emotions that must have been taking place inside the ark, with the people on the outside, lives being taken through their sin, and the floodwaters that was coming, and as the ark and the safety and the safe haven that Noah's family set within, the world was losing their lives. Crying, I'm certain of this. Screaming and yelling for help. All the while they're sitting in the ark of safety, emotional, up and down, up and down. Till God's word held true and the ark rose up and floated until it came to a resting spot, and it was a new world. A new world, the old world that had turned their hearts against God, and the imaginations of man's thoughts with evil continually. Listen, it was a new world in the eight that had found refuge in this ark, that listened to Noah and followed Noah. His children and their families went into that ark. They opened the door there and they come out, and it's a new world, but they're all there is. There's nobody else, just 8 of them. What kind of emotional highs and lows would that be? I've got my family. We've survived by the grace of God. But there's nobody else. What does old Noah do? Well, Noah becomes a husbandman. Builds him a vineyard. And gets drunk. Stuck with me, Brother Neil. Somebody told in a meeting or something you was in that alcohol is the gateway to drugs. Hope you don't mind me using that, but that stuck with me because it fits so many different things that I read. He becomes drunken. Emotionals, ups and downs. We have to know how to be abased and how to abound. We have to know how to be brought down. We have to know how to be lifted up. We can do all this thing, but not by ourselves, but only through Christ, which strengthens us. And when we step outside the will of God, listen, woe be unto us, for the debt that we have through sin is death. He become drunken in his children. came in, one of which looked upon his nakedness, and will not preach all of that, for it's very lewd in its definition, but they were cursed. Canaan, the son of Ham, to be cursed because of the sinful act, because of their father's drunkenness and what they did. The other two children come in and covered him up to not be seen. I'm going to tell you, sin need not be seen. It needs to be covered up. Needs to be stayed away from. Abstain from the very appearance of evil, the Bible says. What happened to Noah? Well, I'll tell you, he was lifted up by God in a time that the world was going through a destruction and being chastised. And he was given an opportunity to spread and multiply a new world. And he decided to do this thing. His way. His way. To become drunken. There's a very good scientific study if you'd like to do it. I've done a little bit of it. Not being a scientist, I'm no good at those type studies. But I've read enough to know there was a reason to have a need for the wine. It was not a vessel to be used for drunkenness. You hear people all the time. I don't know if I've ever preached. You ever heard anybody say, well, they drank wine in the Bible? When we say alcohol is wrong. You ever been crazy? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Am I the only one ever gets questioned that? Yeah, I'm not crazy. I'm not. You've heard it. Let me tell you something. There's a reason that they had the drinks they did. You imagine a world that's been flooded with the water and the stench of death. You remember that the dove that was released and the raven that was released out of the ark? You remember the difference between the dove come back, but the raven didn't? You remember why this might have been? Because the raven will eat dead things. A dove will not. It needs plants and vegetables. The raven went out going to and fro and set up on the dead carcasses that was floating and rotting and deteriorating in the world. And it was fine with that. There is a stench in the world after destruction by God. And they needed something to drink. And sure, God would supply to them a form of drink that would have been good for the body. But it's not for the drunkenness that mankind uses it for. And don't get me on social drinking. That's ridiculous. Goes on to say, abstain from strong drink. Tell me the difference between a weak and a strong drink. Anything that alters, I wasn't planning this at all this month. Anything that alters the thinking of mankind becomes a strong drink, my friend. Listen to me today. The consumption of alcoholic beverages when we got clean drinking water sitting at our hand at any time is a sinful act by mankind. And Noah partook of it. To the place that he was in excess and drunkenness, and his sin found him out because he did not know how to be lifted up. He did not let Christ lift him up. So what trial and trouble might you be going through this morning? What troubles do we face daily? I'll tell you, each and every one of us has struggles we go through. I'm pretty confident that my struggles is different than Brother Neil's, and Brother Neil's is different than Caitlin's back here who's going to college, and hers is different than one of the young ones maybe going to middle school. But every one of us here today, from the eldest to the youngest, is going through a life that has trouble involved with it. Struggles. I don't care if you're the governor or the president of the United States, if you work at Ingersoll Rand as I do, maybe farm over here, whatever it is you do, my friend, there is troubles in the world we live in. For mankind sinned and fell short of the commandments of God. And because of that sin, we're born into a world, my friend, that's full of sin. And we're partakers of that sin. And there is only one way, and that's the truth in the life of this world, that we may escape from the sins of this world. And that's through Christ Jesus. But we're battling struggles. Well, we say some are big and some are little, but listen, there's no big problem and little problem. If it's a problem in your world, it's a problem to our God. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Sometimes we have to be brought down. And we don't even know how to do that unless God lives in our heart.
But sometimes we need to be lifted up. And my friend, we don't know how to do that unless God lives in our heart. Whatever you're facing today, Jesus Christ came to this world, lived and died on the cross of Calvary, defeated death and rose up, that you can have a hope for a better way. He's given you a way that you can escape the troubles of life. So, well, Brother Doug, what do you mean you don't have trouble? No, I have troubles. Come follow me. You'll see some of them. But what I have is a Savior. I've got a Master, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He lives with me. And He knows that when I need to be lifted up. And He knows when I need to be brought down. And I read in the Word of God. And daily, my friend, it helps instruct me in the pathway of life. And sure, I have troubles. And sure, I make mistakes. But they're all brought back into a line with the Word of God through the Spirit of God. See, what I've been rambling for 20 minutes on here is saying you need to find salvation. See, I'm talking about an altar of prayer where somebody comes and kneels down and says, listen, I can't do this by myself anymore. I've got to have the hand of God to help me. This is bigger than I am. Don't worry, I've been there, and anybody else that's a Christian's been there this morning as well. You've been to the place where that struggle in life or that ego got so big that you was able to look in that mirror of life and say, I know I can't do this by myself, but something is drawing me to the house of God. Oh, my friend, that's the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ ascended in. He said, why stand here gazing? The same one that's ascending is going to come back in like manner. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll leave you the great comforter, that old thing called the Holy Ghost of God. They say, don't use the word ghost. It scares the children. I hope it scares the world, my friend, because there is a Holy Ghost, and it's part of the Trinity of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that's what moves in our soul. See, that Holy Ghost convicts our heart, talks to us, touches us, leads us and guides us, tells us when we fail God, tells us when we need to be brought down, and keeps us on that steady. What do you need this morning? You need Jesus. What does the world need? They need Jesus. What's the leaders of our world need? They need Jesus. What's the people in prison need? They need Jesus. What's the ones in the house of worship need? They need Jesus. What's this church need? It needs Jesus. We need the Son of God in our life. He needs to move in our very being. He needs to be, but drives us every day. I talked about, I think it was Wednesday, it might have been Sunday, I get tied up in my days. Remember, in my memory, every day is a brand new day because I can't remember nothing. And I talked about Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker. It's good sometimes to be motivated. I'm going to tell you the greatest motivation man's ever had is the motivation of the cross of Calvary. It's Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that He gave His life. I don't know if you get this morning. He loved you so much that He come and walked through the misery of this world. He was scourged. He was mocked and made fun of. The very apostles betrayed Him. No man was there for Him. And He looked down the span of time and saw Doug Baldwin and loved me enough that He was willing to die. He saw you and He's willing to die for you, and He knew that there was no hope for man unless He went on the Calvary's cross. He loved you enough that He said, I'll be that way for you. And sure, there's going to be some ups and downs, and this old world's going to be a rocky road. But when it all falls apart and the struggles and troubles come, I'm glad, Brother Eric, that I've got a Savior that I can hold on to. I can hold on. He's an anchor for my soul, Paul wrote in Hebrews. You think about that. In a world where the old boat is being tossed back and forth, He is an anchor of the soul. He is steadfast, never changing. Matter of fact, it even says there's no shadow of turning in our God. He doesn't change one bit, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God loves you this morning. Jesus loves you this morning. And He doesn't care how old you are. Doesn't matter. I had people ask me, said, listen, so-and-so has gotten saved. They went to the altar. Do you think that's right? Well, sure, I think it's right. But they're only this. Let me tell you something. When you know the difference in right and wrong, you're ready for God to enter into your heart. Far be it for me to tell a child they're not ready. I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're here this morning in such an age that nobody's giving you. I don't care if you're 99. Doesn't matter anywhere in between, my friend. This I know. If you're living in your life and that Holy Ghost of God has convicted your soul and you know you're living outside of the will of God, then you're bound for a devil's hell and it is no place for man to be. But there is a hope for you. There's a hope in the Son of God, Christ Jesus. Just this morning in Sunday school, we studied about Nebuchadnezzar, and he said he looked into the fiery furnace and saw one likened to the Son of God, a fourth man, not just Shadrach, Meshach, the fourth man. I'm going to tell you, he's always been. He was in the days of Daniel. He was in the book of Genesis. He was from the beginning to the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And not only is he always been and always will be, I'll tell you what else. He is right now here with you and I today. His Spirit is in this house of worship. I've felt it since I've come here. And that same Spirit is convicting your heart if you're lost. See, because you've got that great trouble. You've got that emotional ride that's up and down. And you need to know how to be abased and how to abound. And I can do all these things, Brother Darrell, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Leave it to me and I'm in trouble. I will fail. How do I know? Because I have. I have failed miserably. Follow me very long and I'm going to make a few more mistakes. But that's where the grace and mercy of my God applies. I can do all things through Christ. Well, Brother Doug, can you do this? Yes, I can. Me and Christ can get it done. And I don't care what this is. We can get through it, my friend. And so can you. But it starts with conviction. It starts with knowing that you're lost and outside the will of God. It starts with repentance. And that was hard for me. See, I sit there and I'd hang on. You ever seen the white knuckles? Ever had those? These knuckles get white when you hang on to that pew long enough because you don't want to let go of it. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I didn't want to let go because the life I lived was all right. I thought I was doing okay, you see. But by the grace of God, I learned that wasn't good enough. Some of you here this morning need to find salvation. And God says He'll help you. How do I do it, Brother Doug? Well, you just let Christ into your life. I said this before, but the first step, everybody says the heart. I'll be honest, I don't really even remember the steps. But giving in to all the noise that was in my head, that was the hard part for me. All the noise about what if this person, they're going to say this is going to happen. I don't want to get... Let me tell you something. God told Elijah to hear that still small voice. Shut the things of the world out, the sinful things, and listen to that Spirit of God. And if He is talking to you this morning, then this is the day of salvation in your life. The day you need to come and repent. You're going to sing for us, Miss Vanessa? I tell you what, can you sing What a Friend? Do you have anyone play that, Lex? What a Friend? Can you sing that? We'll get these young people working extra hard for us today. But I love this song, and she does a beautiful job with it, because I want you to think about this. No matter what troubles face you today, you've got a friend. Closer than a brother, you've got a friend in Christ Jesus this morning.